Today's Brexit vote plus a Nobel laureate on world trade tapering down right as the new Panama Canal opens for business. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Political prognosticators and market participants were looking warily at rainy weather in the United Kingdom, possibly affecting turnout this morning as Britons vote today on staying in the European Union or leaving. The weather radar is looking much clearer now at midday UK time. The outcome of the referendum will affect markets and businesses continents away, Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
Jim James is CEO of Ideal Industries. It makes electrical supply equipment, hand tools, among other things. They do some manufacturing in the UK and sell into Europe. Ask him about Brexit. He has questions.
Are they going to be restricted free trade? Will our employees be able to move around the European Union freely?
If the UK leaves Europe, it also leaves all the trade deals between European countries. US companies manufacturing in the UK leave those deals too. Trade barriers might sprout right back up.
In some sectors, there are high tariff barriers, and there are plenty of non-tariff barriers.
Ilaria Moselli is in Brussels. She's a senior economist with the Conference Board. There's also a question for U.S. companies of what happens to the European economy. Jim McDonald is chief investment strategist at Northern Trust.
Any U.S. company that has got significant operations in the U.K. selling into Europe has to be worried.
What happens to the European economy also happens to their European sales. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Panama opens its new wider canal on Sunday. I was just down there checking it out, and this week we've been exploring not just this new and improved lifeline for global commerce, but also its timing, right as world trade is. Did you hear this? In the doldrums, to use a nautical term. The way Jorge Quijano, CEO of the Panama Canal Authority, tells it, there are plenty of trade opportunities his canal is now ready to seize.
Some of it will come from trying to recover back from what went to Suez Canal. But also we expect we will see better growth in the United States. So consumption will go up, and we'll also see some increases in future years of consumption in Latin America.
And with all this oil and gas production in North America these days, fracking, there should also be more liquefied natural gas tankers from the U.S. Gulf headed through the canal bound for Asia, with each ship paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in tolls to Panama each time they go through. But it is also true that trade, all of global trade, planet Earth, isn't the booming business it once was. This according to the Bureau for Economic Policy Analysis in the Netherlands, which dutifully tracks these things. Trade was supposed to come back after the great financial collapse of 2008, and it really hasn't. Susan Lund is a trade expert with the McKinsey Global Institute.
For the last 5 years, global trade has been stagnant. So trade in goods is no longer growing any faster than global GDP, and in fact, it's declining a bit. We've never seen this.
As we heard yesterday, some experts say global trade is cyclical. China restructuring, Europe healing, just wait, it'll come back. But what if what some call peak trade is here to stay?
Underlying this is something that's structural and we don't think will change. And that's simply that global manufacturing is shifting.
Shifting in part because of disasters like this.
This is the heart of the water world that central Thailand became about 2 weeks ago.
Just weeks ago, these machines were making hard drives. Now they're being blasted to remove silt and sludge.
The explosions felt miles away, emanating from an industrial warehouse in Tianjin, a
port city operations in Tianjin, somewhat disrupted. BHP says its iron ore shipments are disrupted.
In 2011, terrible floods in Thailand disrupted the auto parts and electronics industry around the world. I couldn't find hard drives at my local store. Another example last year, when an explosion obliterated a cargo storage facility in the Chinese port of Tianjin. In response, some companies around the world looked for ways to make things in fewer places or closer to home.
It may be that we're entering an era when trade becomes a bit less of a thing.
That's a guy who won a Nobel Prize in economics for his work analyzing world trade. Paul Krugman is now at the Graduate Center at the City University of New York. And if trade is less of a thing, Krugman says that's okay. Maybe there's even an upside. I wondered if some American workers who saw their jobs exported overseas should be cheering.
A large part of the obviously vulnerable jobs have already gone. I mean, we have only a tiny clothing industry in the United States now. The one place where you've seen a really dramatic increase in wages is in people who know how to operate sewing machines, because it turns out that the apparel industry realized it had overstretched. It was too reliant on stuff coming from Bangladesh. Still going to buy a lot of it from Bangladesh, but it's worth producing some stuff here. And it turned out there was almost nobody left in America who knew how to do that. Even without this slowdown in world trade, the story of trade displacing jobs was probably mostly a story about the past, not about the future. But this adds to the sense that, okay, that was then. We got different problems now.
I suppose some things could happen that might give the future of world trade another boost. You could get sub-Saharan Africa more open to trade, or the Obama administration is looking for more trade deals, Europe and elsewhere.
Well, yeah, the thing about world trade right now and about all of these trade negotiations is that trade is almost free already. And what we call trade agreements right now tend to be really not trade agreements. You know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is about intellectual property and dispute settlement and not really very much about trade, which is one of the reasons that I call myself a soft opponent. I'm not quite sure why we're doing this. So not a whole lot of frontiers to open up right now.
If you miss it on the air, the director's cut of my conversation with Nobel laureate and New York Times columnist Paul Krugman is also at marketplace.org. Tomorrow here, with the Panama Canal's opening just days away, we'll look at the future of global trade, the part that is thriving and needs no canal, that is digital trade. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.